there is something that is of value in serving as a deacon. There is. But more than that, it says great confidence in their faith. I'm telling you, when you start serving your God and you see Him doing amazing works in this body, it is a blast to be a part of.
More of Him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea. I wanna be completely His.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. What is a deacon's role in the church? We'll continue to answer that question on today's program, so if you have your Bible, we are in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, for part 2 of the message, The Role of Deacons. Here's Pastor Tim.
So deacons, man, they're called together to serve, and they lead the church in their serving. And I just want to tell you, we have a ton of strong volunteers in this church. We've got some great deacons in this church. And I just wrote some words down here. Hours. They put some serious hours in. Focus. Focused on the area they're called to work in. Selflessness. And here's a good one for the parking team. Weather. Regardless of the weather, man, ready to rock and ready to take it on. And our deacons know what it is to take their task, be prepared, and get after it. And just so you know, we have a few deacons around here. I'll give you the quick titlings or structures. We have a finance deacon, responsible for tracking some of our budgeting, the giving that comes in, the bills that go out, just making sure that on a regular basis, and then especially at the end of year on an annual basis, we've got everything managed and tracked well. We actually get those things back to a bank as well, so we've got some extreme skill set in that area. Love what God's given us in the area of finance around here. It's amazing. Benevolence. We've got a team of people led by one of our deacons, and just working with the tough needs around here. Working with the hearts, being able to shepherd, being able to help with budgeting, praying through things, working with families in the midst of some tough struggles, and we've got some benevolence that goes on with it. Medical team, caring for the physical needs, the body needs, literal physical body needs, whether it be on a Sunday morning or even, you know, throughout a week like at VBS, right? We've got teams of people caring for the physical, and especially here on Sunday mornings as we rally together. May God protect in the midst, but we've got a team ready. And let's see what God does in the midst of all that. We've got a medical team, and that's Jeff Klaffenstein. And hospitality, the ushers and the greeters and the welcome center, and then communion and baptism and caring for those pieces. Did you know greeters don't just randomly show up and decide to open a door and shake hands? Like, it's getting organized, man. We've got guys who know what's going on, and they're praying through it and going after it. And same with all our ushers and the rest there. And here's one you love, cafe. Getting ready for the hot coffee to be ready every week. And we've got somebody that's making sure that's happening every single week, that there is something to wake you up in the morning. And parking team. And one of our most obvious ones in the midst of all the weather issues we've had. You know, we sat down and talked originally when we were designing the building, and it had literally snowed on like 2 Sundays ever for us. And then we designed the building, and then like every Sunday it snowed and rained. It's amazing how we get some kind of weather, and our parking team in the midst of that, managing the parking lot, managing you guys, keeping things safe, keeping things moving as fast as possible, and love what God's doing with that team, and we're always continuing to perfect in that area. Love the teams that we have going on. Man, our guys lay it on the line, okay? And there's some physical stuff taking place, but please hear me, that doesn't separate them from the big plan, which is to make disciples. None of it goes down without volunteers rallying together with these deacons to make sure we all together are launching this church for Christ and His glory. That's what it looks like, all right? So here's 2 simple application questions for you. Number one, would you pray for our deacons as they're helping make disciples in this church? Pray for them. This is a lead role. It's a responsibility role, and there's a lot to it. And make sure that you're lifting them up. And then number 2, so what does it look like for you to take that next step in going after serving your King with all you've got? And I'll just reuse the words here, with hours and with focus and selflessness, regardless of the weather, going after it. What's it look like for you to take the next step in serving your God at this place. Come join us as we make much of our King, all right? And so deacons lead by serving. That's Acts chapter 6. Now do me a favor. Let's just turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, starting in verse 8. Okay, point number two, deacons must meet specific God-honoring qualifications. Did you know that? Specific God-honoring qualifications. In fact, what we just saw in the last passage was full of the Spirit and wisdom. But God-honoring qualifications, this section actually enumerates a little bit more about deacons. It says, deacons likewise, why does it say that? Well, because in verses 1 through 7, it was talking about elders, right? And it's talking about the elders and giving some specific requirements. And then in verse 7, it says, moreover, the elder, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Likewise now, deacons, okay? Let's make sure we understand this is a spiritual role within the church. It is not just a physical role. Everybody just say, not just physical. It is not just a physical role. It is a physical role, but it's more than that. This is a spiritual role helping lead and take care of, helping to make disciples in this place. And there's high responsibility in it. Deacons, likewise, must be, now here's the list, dignified, okay? And that word literally just means worthy of deep respect. And we saw it at the end of verse 7 there in the elders where it talks about even outsiders just understanding who this person is and how they carry themselves in their business and their family and their home and the area and the neighborhood. And they're well-respected, dignified, okay? It says not double-tongued. Some of yours may say not gossips. Some may say not slanderers. Just so you know, in the original language, the word, we'll just break it down. We don't do this often, but just so you understand why. The word goes di, D-I, like two, right, in the Greek. Di, logos, two words, okay? So don't be two-worded. And so that can mean a couple of things. That often was used to mean don't repeat stuff. That's where the gossiping thing comes from, right? Or even slander, repeating things that are lies. Right? So that's where that can come from. But it may also mean don't be double-tongued, like saying two different things. You know, you're talking to this guy and you're like, hey, let me tell you about this, right? Then you come over here and you're like, now I got to sound cool to this guy, so I'm going to change what I say. And hey, now this is true. And we're changing who we are based on who we're with, double-tongued. And whatever it means, it definitely means this. And don't be using your tongue to make much of you. Use your tongue to make much of Christ. Okay? That's what's being said here. And the deacon required to do that, that's not just deacons, that's all of us. Let's not use our tongue to celebrate self. Let's use our tongue to celebrate Jesus Christ and Him glorified. All of God's people said, amen to that. And dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine. And please note, Scripture does not say don't ever touch wine. It doesn't say that. What it says instead is don't be drunk with wine, Ephesians 5, right? We have to be careful with that. I'm just going to tell you that while that is the truth, there's still choice to be made of should I maybe never drink at all. And just so you know, pastoral staff, we've made a very clear position that we're not touching alcohol. And why is that? Because we're working with people all the time that are in all kinds of stages of life. And I'm just telling you, we're with you, okay? And if you need to not be drinking alcohol, we're with you. And that's where we stand. And you might need to be making a stand like that. Maybe you've got friends or family or relationship where you just need to be staying away a ton or even completely with abstaining. Here, notice the clarity of it. It's not saying don't ever have it, but it is saying don't be addicted to much. It's saying, man, you better not be leaning on the alcohol. That's going to be a destruction element. Don't be there. Every deacon has to be in a spot where they're fully capable of setting that aside, and it's not going to be dragging them down. Understand? That's a big deal difference. Some people want to come in and just put the law down on this and lay it out and be careful. Let's not go beyond what Scripture says, but let's make sure we catch the spirit of what it's saying too. Why not addicted to wine? Because it can be a train wreck in the home. And we get that. All right? Okay, not greedy for dishonest gain. Not greedy for dishonest gain. You know, where quite frankly, every single moment is the opportunity to get your name up in lights, to network self, to run a job where you can make some things, to get something for you because it'll make your life easier or more fun, right? This isn't about trying to get ahead. and being able to say, did you see my name up in lights this week? And it's not that. Everybody say, not that. It's not that, all right? It's a humble approach towards serving their king, not about dishonest or selfish, greedy gain. It says they must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. The mystery of the faith. Literally, it means, man, you grasp who Jesus Christ is. Okay, the mystery of the faith was this, that for eons before, there were prophets speaking of a coming Messiah Savior. There was going to be a solution. God has it in hand. What is it? We don't know, man. That's a mystery. And then Christ comes. And now they are holding the mystery of this faith that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. He is Messiah, Savior. He is my God, and I worship him, and I celebrate him, and he is in charge in my life. They hold that mystery of the faith with extreme respect, with clear conscience. I know why Christ went to the cross, and I know why he rose from the dead. It was for my sin. It was for our sin. And I'm certainly not going to go live now in the sin that he died for. With a clear conscience literally means setting down the sin, confessing it regularly, and calling for the Lord to transform you in those areas where it's needed. Lord, change me. Change me that I might be more like you. May you be glorified. Clear conscience. Not I'm going to live it for myself and in sin, but I'm going to hand it over to you that you might be honored, okay? Man, on fire for Jesus Christ. Done with sin. Repenting, if you will, use that word. Turn away. Done with the sin. Running with my Savior. These are the requirements of a deacon. So when we're talking about a deacon of greeting, it's not just he knows how to shake a hand. He knows how to smile. By the way, those are nice things for a deacon of greeting. But the requirements from a character perspective, right? Dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain, holding the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. Doesn't mean perfect. Everybody say not perfect. Right? Deacons are human beings, as are pastors and elders, right? We're all human beings, and we do struggle with sin, every single one of us. But with a clear conscience means recognize it, confess it, and get on with it before your God. All right? Get real with your sin. May God be glorified. And it says, and let them also be tested first. There's a good plan. Like, hey, here's what we don't do. Just grab a bunch of guys, throw them into key lead positions, and hope for the best. Like, that's a bad plan, okay? And so the goal instead is testing them. Getting them into a position where they have a chance to serve and basically grow into that position, where you can see their family living and growing in that position. Being able to say, Lord, is this who you have for such a time as this? And watching them literally be able to do well, both with their role, with their attitude, with their walk, with their family, with others around them, that God might be glorified. All right? That's what it looks like. And tested well. This does not mean that there's some sort of judgment from on top as everybody's sitting there evaluating and looking around. It's not that. It's, man, we're looking for that success moment where God is just firing somebody up and they're doing so well as they care for people. May we celebrate that in the midst, okay? And that they may be tested. It says, let them then serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. If they prove themselves blameless. And again, we have to be really careful with that word. Not perfect. Yes, forgiven. They manage mistakes well, with class, with dignity, with honor to Jesus Christ. And they also lead with very few of those. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not looking for the bozo who can always constantly say, I'm sorry. Let's just be real, okay? We're going to need somebody who's able to handle the situations and do well with them, but at the same time, not perfect either. We all get that, right? And so I just wrote these three words down. Not distracted, not destructive, not divisive. This is a huge deal. when you start looking at leading blamelessly, not distracted, not destructive, not divisive. Man, if you're looking for some area to go after in your life, maybe you look at those three words and say, Lord, what could I go after here? How can I take some of these biblical words that a deacon needs to be and be sharpening some of this in my life for your honor and glory? Okay? Proves themselves blameless. All right. So an illustration. There's this young guy. He was in his early 20s. He was trying to make some money and wanted to be able to work, but he lived out in the rural areas. And this actually was how my grandfather and great-grandfather survived for about a decade of their lives. He wanted to work as a farmhand. And so he wanted to get out there working daily with the farmer. He'd live on site at their house. He'd eat meals with them, but he would take care of their house, kind of like a grown adult living in the home, caring for the place, all right? A farmhand. And so this farmer was looking to hire one, and the kid came in to interview for it. And as they're talking, he loved the kid's personality. He had this great temperament and a ton of smiles and laughs and sweet and respectful. And he said, just tell me one thing. I'm going to break it down one sentence. You tell me why I should hire you. The kid's statement was, I sleep when the wind blows. And the farmer's like, oh. And so they said, okay. They stepped away and they're talking. He's like, what do you think, hon? And his wife's like, I really like him. She goes, I just don't know what that last phrase means. And he's like, I don't either. I have no idea what to do with that. She's like, well, what do you want to do? And he's like, let's just give him a chance and we'll see. We'll tell him he's kind of working on probation. And so they came back in and they're like, look, let's just do this on a trial. We'll see how it goes. And let's get you involved. You can start working with us. And so day after day, they'd work together. And he just did a phenomenal job working with the farmer, getting stuff done. And when a couple weeks went by, and it turned out one of these huge storms blows in. I mean, massive weather. Wakes the farmer up about 2 a.m. He jumps up, wakes his wife up. They start running around the house, checking things. The first thing they do is they run to the windows. Get those shutters, man. Get them locked. And, well, they were already locked. The farmhand had gotten them locked. All right, get over to the door. Get some firewood from outside. Make sure it doesn't get wet. And firewood was already stacked inside the door and ready to rock. Farmhand had gotten it. So they ran outside. They're like, get the farm tools in the... Well, the farm tools were all put away into the barn already. Get the animals in. And well, they were already in too. And the doors were closed and everything was locked and everything was taken care of. As they came back in and the rain had drenched them and they closed the door inside the house and shook it off and took off the coats and boots, they walked over and opened the door to check on the farmhand. And he was asleep while the wind blew. It means you are well prepared and you work ahead thinking about the things that could happen, the storms that may come, and you are prepped. You can sleep while the wind blows. I'm telling you, that's the call of a deacon. Not to wait until the crisis hits and then try to handle the crisis in the middle of the crisis. Yes, we have crises, but may we handle them calmly and at ease because we have thought it through, prayed it through, talked it out. We've got a plan. Now let's execute. That's what it is to be helping lead in this church around here, all right? Deaconship, there's a huge number of specific qualifications that they have, and we're longing to see men of God step up to certain positions in this church and be able to take those lead spots as they serve and model in the midst. Simple challenge to you, same one as the first point. First, will you pray for those deacons? Pray for our guys who are committed to those positions, that they might see ahead the issues they need to work on, that they might be prepared for the storms coming, that they might wisely handle the situations, and that we all together with a calm and a peace might constantly be worshiping our God no matter what comes on a Sunday morning. And then number two, what needs to change in your life that you could be heading towards these qualifications, that God might be glorified? What needs to be adjusted that you might make much of your King? All right? Number three. The family of a deacon must also meet specific God-honoring qualifications. The family of a deacon must also meet specific God-honoring qualifications. And it says here, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. So the wife of a deacon, yes, must also be dignified. Remember, drawing respect from, right? And so people understand who they are, and they love to laugh, and they love to smile with you. They'll pray with you. They'll talk with you. They're a sweet person. They've got they honor God in the midst, okay? And yes, dignified in the midst of how they handle their life and those around them. Not slanderers. Misuse of the tongue again, right? And I'm telling you, our tongue can be a destructive force. And families need to be watching out for this. And a deacon's family, have that in mind. Not slanderers, but sober-minded. Okay, and sober, we've heard that word before. The opposite of sober is drunk, right? It's like your whole thinking is distorted. You can't possibly see it correctly, and don't be that way. See it clearly. Be able to understand and approach that wisely. Faithful in all things, not faithful in one thing, not faithful in some things, but faithful in all that God's called them to. And let deacons each be the husband of one wife. And this is where we would say, yeah, a deacon does need to be a man, a husband of one wife. That's the call here. We're following through on what Scripture says. Husband of one wife, what does that mean? Well, clearly it certainly means he doesn't have two wives, right? And so down with polygamy, clear enough. But it means more than that. It means faithful to her, has a heart for her, caring for her, husband of one wife. But it also does mean this too, not an unbiblical divorce in the background where they blew up a prior marriage and they're now into this one, and not that either, okay? And so wisely have managed their relationships. Please notice I said unbiblical divorce. So we have to be very careful with that. If a man has been a victim of a spouse who has gone through some kind of extramarital affair, that's not what we're talking about here, okay? But an unbiblical divorce where he just walked away because he just said, I'm done. That's not what we'd be looking for in this role, all right? Scripture pretty clear on it. We just walk through what it says. Let each be the husband of one wife, managing the children and their household well. Like, the house has to be in order, man. They've got to be parenting the home. All right, I see a lot of parents nowadays who are kind of in this mode. Whatever. We'll let it ride. We'll see what happens. And just so you know, that usually doesn't play well. You know that, right? So be careful with that, parents. They may not like me if I lean in on them right now. That might be the best move for the moment, okay? Parenting in a tough spot. And leaning in those tough spots. I once had my senior pastor up at Naperville said, look, our goal is to make sure that they're friends with us in the next 5 years, not in the next 5 minutes. We were speaking to handling things within the church, but that goes for our home as well. Be careful. Don't sell out for friendship and lose control in the home. All right? Watch out for that. All right? He says, household in order, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also a great confidence in their faith that is in Christ Jesus. They gain a good standing, yes, with other human beings, with other people, yes, with their God. There is something that is of value in serving as a deacon. There is. But more than that, it says great confidence in their faith. I'm telling you, when you start serving your God and you see him doing amazing works in this body, it is a blast to be a part of. There's a privilege of being a part of it. And yeah, a part of being deaconship as well, all right? So, all that being said, that's deaconship. That's one of our roles here. So we have elders, we have deacons. Those are the two governing roles within the church. The elders, they lead in doctrine, discipline, and direction. And the deacons, they lead in the tasks that we have going on. Both parties fully and deeply invested into making disciples.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. To hear or view today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.harvestpeoria.org. If you've been impacted by this message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Harvest Bible Chapel is located at 401 Cimarron Drive in East Peoria. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services on Sunday mornings at either 9 or 11 or Sunday evening at 4:30. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.